a lifetime of qualifications stripped by the FAA, now making a comeback. I'm Paul Plack, and this is Aero News. Welcome in to the Aero News special feature. Thanks for downloading the second and final part of my conversation with Ed Jeska, who retired from the FAA's Birmingham, Alabama FISDO in a controversy over whistleblowing and alleged personal vendettas by management of the office, and subsequently found himself stripped of all his pilot certificates in apparent retaliation. All this personal turmoil, coming at the same time as a battle with cancer, had to make for a pretty dark day. But Ed is still around and appears to be on the rebound in every way. I asked him about some specific thoughts on recourse, having been largely ignored by the FAA's normal administrative process. Ed, let's talk about now going forward from the time you had the emergency revocation of your pilot certificate. First of all, an emergency revocation to me, I think of really egregious cases where people's lives are going to be in danger if somebody is acting as pilot in command or as a required crew member on a bigger flight. What was the justification used for this so-called emergency revocation?
Well, you're very familiar with the FAA and their judicial system. They don't need to tell you why they do anything. They just did it. They said I was a danger to the aviation community because I was untruthful, which is really a stretch. That even the judge in the courtroom when we first first discussed the case and the case in chief and whatnot, even he asked the question: Are you going to do an emergency revocation and take these certificates over a date when he passed the check ride? And the FAA attorney said, yeah, we're going to, because he falsified a date. He's not trustworthy.
Now, this is where I have to back up and ask the question, is there no way to put this into the mainstream legal system when something this egregious happens? Can the FAA get away with this without ever facing a civil action? Are they under some kind of immunity because they're part of the federal government?
To bring a case against the government for something like this it would be extremely, extremely unusual. There is protection for the employees because they're doing their job. Now, if they're found to be outside of their job description and are doing something that's wrong or illegal, you can bring a civil action against them individually. That, in this case, would be extremely difficult. You've got the FAA, you've got the office investigating with a whole team of inspectors. You have security people, you have the regional office, you have the legal office in Atlanta, and you have Washington. So, therefore, it would be extremely difficult to bring charges against the agency for this.
Okay, did you try to take it upstairs, so to speak? I know that, whenever we get a new FAA administrator, and admittedly for a while that was kind of an empty chair, but, is there not a political incentive for somebody to clean up a mess like this? Or does that just make it worse in their mind?
I don't know what Mr. Babbitt's thoughts are, but he's been appraised of the situation here in Birmingham for quite a while. The effort to get this resolved we appealed to the NTSB before the full board. We tried to get the full board to hear it, and they denied. Then we went to the appeals court, and they denied. Then we went to the appeals court in Bonk, and they denied. So right now, my attorney is working on a submittal to the United States Supreme Court. It's very odd, very odd that we would be heard, because I'm just a little guy, and little guys don't make enough money, and we don't donate to the right folks, so we're just left out in the cold, and I don't think the Supreme Court is going to hear me over Obamacare or something like that. So, but I have tried the political venue. I have tried going to the congressman here locally. And the way that's normally handled, and if people think they're going to get a fair shake from their congressman, think again, because what happens is they take the whole package that you give them, and they send it to the FAA, and they ask the FAA to look into it. Well, you're asking the same people that have just destroyed you to look into your case. So it always comes back, well, this gentleman lied on an application, and he's not trustworthy, and that's basically how they just hide it away. So,
all right, let's talk about some of the individuals involved in this action at the time. You have had a number of exchanges of correspondence with the FAA and NTSB and obviously other parties about this, and the response seems to have been to spread some of the principles in this occurrence out around different places within the agency or maybe even elsewhere. But nobody really has been called on the carpet for how this was done.
You're right. One of the fellows that was instrumental on the investigative team got a promotion, went to Dallas. Another one got sent down to Florida. So I think when it really starts getting sticky, the FAA has a real propensity to hide the problem, and they do that by just, like you say, spreading the individuals out to different areas where they're kind of out of the limelight.
I'm going to ask because I'm interested from a personal interest standpoint. Mm-hmm. How did your battle with cancer turn out?
I am 4 years cancer-free. I just had my last PET scan in late last year. I just got back from Mayo Clinic in Rochester, where I completed my Class 2 flight physical.
So you have a second-class medical. The FAA revoked the certificates. I remember at the time them saying specifically that if you wanted them back, you'd have to earn them from scratch again. At the time, that was deemed preposterous and just too overwhelming, but you seem to be headed in that direction now. Have you made the resolve to try to do that?
I have. I had to sell some personal belongings, but I've got a bit of money now, and I'm going to go back and start from my private pilot's license. I'm going to go ahead and do what they... I'm going to get back some of what they took from me. Yeah, I'm going to start with my private and commercial multi-engine instrument, and we'll see where it goes from there.
Now, let me ask you a practical question for somebody who might find themselves in this situation. This doesn't zero out your logbooks. Can you still claim, for example, any of the solo time or pilot and command time that is required of any of these certificates?
Exactly. Regardless of what happens, they can't take your experience away. I mean, I'm sure they'd like to. To make it as difficult as possible. These people are very vindictive, but they can't take that away. So I'm going to go back in with a substantial amount of flying experience. So I will have to take all the writtens again and take all the orals and practical tests. So, but I'm going to leave this area. I'm not going to do it here in Alabama. I'm going to go elsewhere. I'm going to go outside of this district because these people are just not someone I want to deal with it. And at any level, again.
Okay, now, that begs the question, is the Alabama FISDO still the same political place it was a couple of years ago when this was all going on?
Unfortunately, it is. There have been no changes in the management and administration of that office.
All right, given the reception you got when you tried to take this up the ladder, will there not be people waiting to sabotage it at other levels?
I think it's got enough publicity now that I may just be a hands-off. And if whatever I get will be legitimate, and they'll be hard pressed to take it away. I will be the first one to cry foul if that happens.
It's on the public record now that they left that door open for you to re-earn them from scratch.
Indeed, to get all of the certificates back is going to be an impossibility. That's just not going to happen. So I'll take what I can get, but it'll allow me to go back to flying again, and that's really important.
Okay, do you see yourself from this point on in your life as primarily a personal and recreational flyer, or are you going to try to get back into business? Or is that ice way too thin to skate on anymore?
No. I'm very comfortable flying for hire. That's the purpose of all this, is I'm going to go back and try and get to a level of certification where I can indeed fly for hire, and that was the purpose of getting the second class medical. So I could fly corporate flights and be paid for it.
What kind of semi-retirement business do you hope to put together? Do you hope to do instruction and check rides, you know, become a DPE, or would that even be getting too close to the fire?
Oh, they would not. A designated pilot examiner is an authorization by the office manager. That would never happen in Alabama, no matter who I was or how good I was or how thorough I was or how safety conscious I was. That office would never, ever permit that to happen. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to fly, and I'm going to offer my services for, you know, Part 135 operators or flight schools, I'm not going to instruct again. I don't want to go through that with these people. I'm just not, you know, I have no reason to expose myself to that.
I guess people don't always appreciate what a CFI puts on the line to do that kind of work, because not only are you essentially putting yourself out for hire to get paid by people trying to kill you, as one instructor I know joked, but also if anything goes wrong with a student subsequently, this would be another chance for, and that's going to be at the FISDO level as well.
Yes, indeed. And you're right. When an instructor starts having an issue, and in this case that could certainly be expedited, and I would anticipate it would be knowing these people in Birmingham, the fault of a student either not passing a check ride or having an accident or incident falls back in the instructor's lap. And I don't want to expose myself to that again, because it would take them a heartbeat to be at my front door.
In a moment, could something like what happened to Ed happen to you and me? I'm Paul Platt, and you're listening to a special feature from Aero News.
Freedom through performance. At Cirrus, performance is not simply the measurement of a single design parameter. Rather, it's a total package. It's optimum balance of speed, efficiency, comfort, safety, ease of flight, and quality. We call it Cirrus Flying 2.0. Aren't you ready to feel the freedom?
Piperjet.
Pipermatch.
Global expansion.
Meridian, Mirage, Matrix, and more.
With so much happening at Piper, how can I possibly keep up?
Get informed. Get involved at facebook.com/Piper Aircraft.
Welcome back to the special feature. I'm Paul Plack, wrapping up a conversation with FAA whistleblower Ed Jeska. Okay, now we have managed undoubtedly, to scare a few people over the course of the last couple days. Is there anything we can leave folks with as a word of advice to avoid ever finding themselves in your situation? I mean, would it have been, if you had AOPA's legal plan, it doesn't sound like that would have made a bit of difference.
No, it wouldn't. You're dealing in a system that you sign up to. I mean, when you get your pilot's license and proceed on with, you know, to higher level ratings and instructor and so forth, you sign into that system. You accept all of the faults of that system. I know inspectors nationwide. Some of them are just simply outstanding people, and they're the best of the best. And I know people say, well, you go to the FAA because you can't fly elsewhere. That's not true. I think some of the best aviators, practically as well as knowledge-wise, are in the FAA. And I would be proud. I'm proud to call them friend. But then you have others that have just a weakness, and they fall into that category where they can't get it done outside. So they fall into the protected category of inspector, where, you know, anything goes. They can interpret rules any way they want, and it's happened. People come to me now because I'm basically a lightning rod. I'm a sounding board for the complaints that occur here in Alabama. And I thought we had an avenue to bring these issues to Washington. And I, you know, express to people that you can do this anonymously. Here's a phone number. Here's a gentleman's name. But I prefer you put your name on it, because if you are sincere, the only way to know that if there's any progress being made is to put your name on it so that you can be contacted. It's a risk. It's a risk, because even if, you know, you're anonymous, when the office starts getting investigated or to send somebody down to interview people, they know exactly who turned it in, because they're talking about a specific event. And so you might as well put your name on it and get at least an idea of what's going on. Although, you know, I have never done anything as fulfilling in an industry or anywhere else as working in aviation. And I've done a lot of things, but, I mean, I really, really look back on my career and say, wow, that was super. What a lifetime that was. So that's why I'm going back. And to turn people away from aviation would be wrong. You just have to know what you're dealing with.
Well, Ed, I hate to end this on a sour note, but what I hear as the unspoken other side of those options is that if you see something wrong, and you're not willing to put your name on it, you better just shut up. Is that kind of the unfortunate lesson of this?
Well, I don't want to put it that way, because there are always avenues that you can submit. Chances of getting issues resolved are slim, and you're right. You know, this does go all the way up to the administrator's office. Whistleblowers are literally destroyed when they blow the whistle on something. Their lives are just destroyed. But it's really fortunate. We just had this past week a whistleblower in the FAA who was involved with the Alaska Airlines issue.
Mm-hmm.
They destroyed her for a number of years. Well, she finally was exonerated. Her lawyers got a substantial settlement. So, but that's like 8 years in the making. So it's awesome that that has occurred, and it gives us all a bit of hope that the system does eventually right itself. But there's too many people that have been laid by the wayside by a system that's broken.
Is there any fixing it?
I think there is. I think there is. You've got to go right to the top. It's got to, you know, this isn't something that they will fix locally on their own. They have gotten away with this for so long that they're not interested in fixing it. They're happy to do what they do when they want to do it and how they want to do it, and get the support of Atlanta and Washington, and do it on the taxpayer's dime.
There's a dark joke I've heard, something along the lines of, "You're FISDO, locally owned and operated since 1948," or something like that. But the idea that rogue FISDOs can exist, I think, rings true with people who have, you know, had things go amiss on any number of much more minor issues, whether it's getting the local district office to just follow the FAR. Sometimes that's a battle, especially for guys who are involved in experimentals, or, you know, that part of the book doesn't get open too often.
Well, and you're exactly right. I think you've focused on a real important point, that some of the inspectors, and this isn't all, and I'm not branding the inspector group, but some of the inspectors are not knowledgeable about what they're doing. And they go out and try to enforce a regulation that doesn't exist. They have the weight and authority of the FAA behind them. It's hard to turn that around. So if you're on the receiving end of that, it's awfully frustrating and difficult.
Well, and if you do win, it may not be a win.
It may be a temporary win, let's put it that way, because, like I said, I've seen some awfully vindictive actions take place, and it's almost scary, because actually what they're supposed to be looking at is improving aviation safety, or maintaining a level of aviation safety that the aviation community should be satisfied with. When the focus becomes something other than that, when it becomes a personal gain or personal vendetta instead of aviation safety, that's when you must look at the FAA and say, wait a minute, can this be done a better way?
Well, I'm really sorry this all happened to you, Ed. I'm glad you had the fortitude to come forth with it, because press releases come out every week. We get them. All the media gets them. Randy Babbitt or Ray LaHood will talk about how great things are going and what a great job everyone's doing. And we have to remember they still are subject to all the foibles of any agency empowered with way more power than any normal individual would have. I mean, you get people who get into a system like that, and there will always be some who will let that go to their head and use it to do things they could not do on their own on the outside.
Yes. And Mr. LaHood and Mr. Babbitt both were very much aware of the circumstances here in Birmingham in Alabama. And the office of AAE, that Office of Audit and Evaluation, which was supposed to take complaints from, you know, different areas of industry and so forth and sort them all out, they had originally told me that the inspection or the investigation into Birmingham was many faceted now. Multifaceted, I think, is the word they used. And at one point, I was even told that the APS, which is the head of flight standards in Washington, was being advised to watch Birmingham. So there's issues, but I don't know where they're going with it. You know, I've watched the FAA for years, and what they do is when there's a problem in-house, they like to circle the wagons.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, and it was one of the things I wrote to AAE, I told them that Marie Ledbetter has passed away, but I just got my second-class medical, so I'm going to be here a while. So this isn't going to go away.
do keep us posted on how that goes and just on your personal progress.
I hope to be gainfully employed within the next 2 or 3 months. And I will let you know what my progress is in reobtaining my certificate.
For background on the case of Ed Jeska, which is scary in its implications for other pilots who might wind up in a rogue FISDO's political crossfire, see the FMI links provided in the data block released with this AeroCast. You've been listening to a special feature from Aero News. Find us on the web at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.